Our Holy Gospel is recorded in John, the third chapter. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believed in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who hate evil hate the light. All who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds are done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, we have Moses listening to the Israelites here who've forgotten again the covenant that God has established with them from the beginning of creation. As you heard from Pastor David last week, it began with Adam and Eve, then with Noah, then with Abraham and Sarah, then with Moses last week with the Ten Commandments, and now with these whining and complaining Israelites. Here they are, recently set free from slavery in Egypt and given everything they need to survive, including manna in the desert, water from the rock, remember that story? And God has kept God's promise to love them and care for them. And what's their response? Well, these Israelites who were miraculously rescued from certain death at the Red Sea complained to Moses, here they go in this little image here, that manna was bad enough, now we have to cope with off-brand bottled water. You know. Well, as a result, we're told, God sends poisonous serpents to bite them in the butt, so to speak, huh? And as a result, they think better of their attitude and their behavior. They repent and they beg Moses to have God take care of this situation for them. And the solution to this threat to life? Well, if you grew up in a tavern like I did, you'd call it the hair of the dog that bit you. You know, it's you know what that is. If you get a hangover, then you're supposed to have a couple drinks in the morning, and that'll take care of your hangover, right? Well, that's where the word oxymoron comes from. This is where the word oxymoron comes in. What's an oxymoron? It's a contradictory, paradoxical phrase where there are two opposite things that just don't go together. They're almost opposites in some ways, right? Like military intelligence or or honest politicians, or Great Depression. What makes a depression great? Or Civil War. Can you imagine? How do you have a civil war, for heaven's sakes? Well, the word oxymoron, I don't know if you know this, but it's a Greek word. It comes from the Greek, and it's two words that actually are an oxymoron. Sharp, dull. Isn't that interesting? That's the word oxymoron. Sharp and dull, all in the same word. And so here's some other ones. It's kind of fun to look at. Deafening silence, confirmed rumors, known secrets, or orderly confusion. Well, that last one kind of talks about my office, if you looked in there, probably. But and it's kind of fun because we could go on, we could just sit here and tell oxymoron jokes all morning, right? Like, remember, you're a completely unique person, just like everybody else, right? Or, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's intolerance. Oh. You guys are, some of you are awake, okay. Well, I'm getting off track here. I think I need a sabbatical, don't you? So, here are the Israelites, whining and complaining in the desert, and it bites them in the butt, so to speak. The story is that, as we heard, that God sends poisonous snakes to do that, but actually, you know what? We don't need God to do that. We do that to ourselves, okay? We do it to ourselves with our own whining and complaining, because what does that do when we're whining and complaining? We're cutting ourselves off from God's covenant, God's promise, God's desire to give us life and all the good things that go with it. God wants to bless us with life, get this, not how we'd rather have it be, but exactly how it is. Manna, water from the rock, whatever it is God provides is good. And life as God gives it, whatever the traits or the conditions or circumstances of my life, it is good. And in this wilderness story and in our gospel reading, we end up hearing the greatest oxymoron of all. Namely, that which causes death brings life. Think about that. You know? Because once they had repented of their foolish, selfish ways, the Israelites, God orders Moses to put a serpent on a bronze serpent on a pole, and so that everybody that looked at it would remember, oh yeah, the last time I whined and complained, what happened? Didn't bring me anything good. It bit me in the butt. And so that they might be able to live, again, reminded, live the life that God has given them to live, not some dream life or some wish dream life that they are manufacturing for themselves. And this is not just the hair of the dog that bit you, kind of a antidote, right? Not some allergy treatment with all sorts of, like a flu shot or like allergy shots that I've been taking lately that seem to be kind of helping. This thing here is, get this, this is God on the cross we're looking at. God on the cross. Jesus, Messiah, God in the flesh, God on the cross, the crucified God, there's a book written called that. The God who will not stop even at his own death to save you. And this whole sinful, sorry world around us. And restore us to the love in this very same covenant, going again back to Adam and Eve and all the way to now. The love of God that says, I'm going to see to your needs. I'll give you a good, whole, healthy life. Now stop whining and complaining about what you don't have. And trust me to provide what you really need. You know, God's willing to go that far just to redeem us and heal us from our rebellion and our from life just the way it really is, our deadly self-centeredness that keeps us from seeing the needs of the people around us sometimes, right? And our own deadly self-righteousness that keeps us from seeing our own sinfulness compared to other people, that complicity in the evils of society, that's that kind of sinfulness. And that sinfulness goes all the way back again to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? Wanting to be like God, isn't that the original sin we talk about? And wasn't that what Ash Wednesday was about with the sign of the cross? Remember, you are dust. Or as Pastor David said last week, I'm God, you're not, right? And when we get that truth, the more we live in that, we get to really live. And that's one of the places that I like to think of when I see this symbol for medicine, right? And the serpents around the pole. This has actually come also from Greek mythology, but for Christians and Jews, we look at this story of the serpent on the pole in the wilderness and how that is this oxymoron of that which brings death actually gives life. Yeah. The ultimate oxymoron. And that's where our verse comes from, our gospel reading, that God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Huh? And here's the deal. Then. So if we, like Adam and Eve, want to be like God, well, here's how you can do that. Like God, you give yourself for others. You give your time, you give your talents, you give your money, so that others can live. And that's it. It's dying to my own druthers to live life fully and freely in the covenant of God, the promise of God. That's the way to be like God. You die to yourself and all of your whining and complaining, and you live for others as Christ died and gave himself for you. We talked to Don Gebert this last week, who's mentoring the stewardship committee. And you know, Don is going to be 89 years old this year, and great evangelism stewardship guru. And he said, we have all these multimillionaires living in this place, and they're all sitting around whining and complaining about their lives. And you know what makes a difference from them? When we ask them to help put stamps on envelopes and do something for somebody else. Got it? It's that simple. Dying to self to live for others leads to life. That's how to be like God. That's how to live our lives fully and completely. Forgetting the goodness of God is what leads to this other stuff. What brings us back is seeing how God loves us on the cross so much, this ultimate covenant that he gave his only son for you, for me. That reminds us, every time we look at the cross, how when we screw up from being so self-centered sometimes, so self-righteous sometimes, when we think that our sins don't stink to have heaven like everybody else's do, how ungrateful we become sometimes, as if God had never done a thing for us in the first place, we look at the cross and live. So restore us, God. Yes, restore us to the joy and promise of our salvation in you. Refine us like a refiner's fire. Send consequences or let consequences be in our lives so they can help us see how our attitudes and actions have been biting us in the butt. And please, God, keep providing the antidote of your never-failing love on the cross, right? And then, Lord, help us to truly be like you, giving ourselves as you've given yourself for us.